Wizard Magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't want to fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 331. I'm in like a different, I don't think I've ever sat in this seat before. This is crazy.
Is it like weirding
you out? No, it's just a different view of the table and everything.
It's such a big table.
It is. our ginormous 4-foot table. But we're down to, I think they've given up on us. But the steadfast, the dedicated ones are still here.
So. The ones are still stuck in Western Pennsylvania.
Right, fair enough. But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Dave,
Pat,
Spencer.
Those guys, those other two, you know.
The lucky few.
Just because they're because they're not here.
That's the big reason, yeah.
Oh, Pat.
Just saying.
But, so, Dave has prepared, which nobody has prepared anything in a while, so I'm proud of Dave. I'm happy he stepped up here. But he has gathered up some San Diego news that he thinks is you know, the most important.
To be fair, Dave is the only professional journalist here.
Yeah. True. No, I'll give you that. I will give you that.
Right on here, all the news that fit the podcast.
Nice. So we're right up there with the Wall Street or with New York Times.
New York Times.
Okay.
A Wall Street Journal is what a Democracy Dies in the Dark or something. Yes.
That's Washington Post. Yeah.
Okay.
So, San Diego. I just wrote down some headlines. Do with them what you will. But first thing I had was Jeff Johns.
Who?
I don't know if we announced these before. Jeff Johns is writing a Shazam series.
Right, with Dale Eaglesham.
With Dale Eaglesham and Three Jokers.
Yeah, and that's going to be one of the Black Label books.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought both of those were announced before, though.
The
Joker's one I remember hearing about, but the Shazam I didn't know about until San Diego.
Well, that makes sense with the movie coming out. They had to get it in a book somewhere. And his Shazam is clearly the inspiration for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
They did the Justice Society book together back a few years ago.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Next, Grant, I don't know if this was announced before, Grant Morrison is doing a 12-issue Green Lantern.
Yep.
Green Lantern series, he says, it's going to be more of like a space cop.
Right, it's procedural, I heard. Yeah, procedural, but I think both the Green Lantern books are ending, leading into this.
Has he ever really done anything? He hasn't really done anything with Hal before, right?
I don't
think
so.
Because his Justice League, that Kyle was the Lantern.
Yeah.
New 2019 DC event written by Scott Snyder. Didn't announce like any information about it, but apparently he's writing the 2019 event.
Well, Metal did well, so
Metal sold really well.
It's
funny.
Sounds like it's going to tie all these things together. And
we were just having a little conversation on my one retailer group where somebody was asking about what's going on with the Metal hardcover because it's out of stock right now, and I think it's probably going back to a second print. And somebody else saying, you know, did you not think this would do well? And I said, no, I ordered plenty of the first print, but sold through. And based on how many issues I sold of Metal, I really didn't foresee selling a ton of the hard covers.
No, you have X amount of customers coming in, 3/4 of them already bought the issues.
Yeah.
You're not thinking you're selling hard covers.
So I underestimated as well, but I'm apparently not alone.
We kind of talked about this last week. Donny Cates will be running the new Marvel Knights imprint.
Yep, with Matthew Rosenberg and Vita Ayala, I believe. And I'll say there was one more person in that. I don't remember who. I apologize. It's not intentional.
Okay.
But they didn't announce books or anything like that.
No, I didn't see the books or creative teams or anything for that. But
Donny Cates is going to write Blade. Because we called it last week.
Exactly.
And then Matthew Rosenberg is going to write, like, The Punisher, Daredevil, Moon Knight, and Ghost Rider walk into a bank.
I'd like to see him do his take on Ghost Rider.
wonder if they'll put Daredevil and just turn that into a Marvel Knights book, or
they might just have two. They might just have two Daredevils.
Uncanny X-Men is returning in November.
Right, with no details whatsoever.
No details. Yeah. Just the logo we've seen.
Right. And X-Men Black is going to be a, like, five one-shot, okay, villain one-shots with a variety of creators. Yeah.
And Marvel announced they're finally going to do a Miracle Man. Something with Miracle Man.
Right,
next
year. That was supposed to happen with Neil Gaiman from before. Yeah.
Well, now he's writing Sandman, so.
Well, you're right. He's overseeing that, like Donnie is overseeing Marvel Knights.
And most importantly, IDW is going to publish a GoBots comic book.
Well, not just GoBots. What else is IDW doing? They're taking over Marvel's All-Ages line.
I thought we talked about that last
week.
Did we?
Yeah. So that's coming. Okay. But one of the... I just posted this. They just replaced the CEO and founder of IDW with a TV guy. So that's a little disappointing. That means they're going to...
That's the Dirk guy, right?
No, it was Ted Adams. Okay. Dirk is their, like, sales guy. Okay. But it's just, it's a little concerning where that's going to head if they're going to just focus on the TV properties. But
someone has to do it. I
mean, right. Speaking of that, just one bit of news, because it ties in. I'm not trying to jump on you, Dave.
Sure, okay.
They just announced Lock and Key was picked up by Netflix for a series. Yeah. So
that should be good.
Yeah. Okay,
wow.
Okay, that's all. Sorry.
With the IDW talk, I saw that they're doing a... With their Ninja Turtle line, they're doing a Shredder miniseries. Shredder in hell,
okay,
because he died and
died. Issue.
Yeah. So, I was excited to see that. Those miniseries, they've been... Well, mostly anything they've done with the Turtles have been pretty good since picking up the license.
Dave's just really excited about the GoBots. He's a big fan of Scooter.
Hey.
It's GoBots. What can you say? Let's go to the movie stuff and the trailers that were released.
Yep.
For at least two of them, Aquaman and Shazam.
Yep. I like both of those. Of the four trailers, and there may have been more, but there were four that I paid attention to. Aquaman was actually my least favorite. So.
Really?
Yeah. Godzilla was spectacular.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
not a Godzilla
I
guy, but I saw Godzilla, and that just blew me away.
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic. Glass, I had no knowledge of.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was very, very excited about that, and yes. I actually just watched Split the other day. So that was good. And then the Shazam. I really enjoyed the Shazam trailer. So Aquaman was kind of the bottom one for me on those. Split? You didn't like Glass?
I didn't see that trailer because I hate Unbreakable.
Oh, really?
Really?
I loved the movie up until the point, and this is the part where we shake hands. I got up and said, F this movie. I was so mad. I haven't watched it again. I was like, no, this is stupid.
Wow.
And I never saw Split. So
I haven't seen
it. It was
Split.
Good.
I loved Unbreakable.
It was
though.
Good. It was really good. I just watched that. Only because he was in the trailer, so.
Yeah.
Spoilers for a couple-year-old movie.
Well, but that's okay. I thought the Aquaman one was pretty much by the numbers, but when I got, like, the shot of Black Manta, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, he looked great.
And it was comic accurate, but not dumb. The other thing I noticed, and with Shazam I expected it, but even with Aquaman, it seemed like they were using a brighter color palette with the film. So we're trying to get away from the gritty.
Well, it doesn't have like that Scott Snyder like tone to it, like all of his movies kind of have like that darker kind of
Zack Snyder,
yeah.
Scott Snyder, what?
What's he doing now?
And there's Demon Hansu, I think his name is. He's both the wizard in Shazam and the king of the fish people in Aquaman.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't recognize him in the Shazam trailer.
Because he has his head down and he has his hair.
Yeah. I don't know, just taken aback a little bit by the Shazam trailer because I didn't expect it to be a straight comedy like that, but...
I think it has to be.
Yeah, it was...
For two reasons. One, if it's... I mean, he's a kid. You know, when he's Shazam, he's still a kid. So, yeah. You know, and think about it. If you were 13 years old and got those powers, you'd be doing that goofy stuff, too.
I can understand it now. It's just at the time, it...
And that's on, you know, I would hate to see a dark and gritty version of Shazam.
Yeah.
Like, it starts off with showing his parents brutally murdered or something like that. Like, whoa, what is all that?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're going to do Talkie Tawny in it. And how do you do that in a live action and make it work?
It's possible. It's possible to do. I don't know. We'll see.
I think in Jeff Johns' comic, they just had him go to the Philadelphia Zoo.
Okay.
He talked to the tiger, and that was how he did it.
I don't know. Do you want to say anything about the James Gunn situation? No,
not particularly, no.
Okay.
It's more political than a comic book.
Yeah. How about the Teen Titans trailer? Do you want to say anything about that?
That was...
Odd,
yes.
So, I have a few problems with it. One, I think the tone, based on the trailer, is very dark for unnecessary reasons. The F Batman line I thought was funny at the same time. Probably... the wrong tone. Not that I think the channel can't, because Swamp Thing I don't think is going to be for kids, but DC has typically marketed the Teen Titans towards a younger audience. You have the Teen Titans Go movie coming out, you have the Young Justice show coming back out. I don't think going that dark and gritty with the Teen Titans is a good idea. I thought Raven was fine. Beast Boy was kind of off.
We didn't really get to see much of him either.
No. I don't like Starfire at all.
Yeah.
And, like, her powers just seem weird.
And who would think, Pete, like, one of the best parts of the trailer would have been the Hawk and Dove footage?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, it looks like a brutal TV... Well, I mean, dropping F-bombs, it's going to be TVMA.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the Netflix shows for Marvel don't even do that. Oh.
Yeah, it was a little jarring.
Yeah, it was really jarring.
I could see that, though. I mean...
Especially, too, because it's a... They never market it as Teen Titans, it's Titans.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, might not be that big of a difference, but it does.
Then don't make it Robin.
But you have to... he's not going to be Robin after this first season, if he makes it that far. Because they've already said that he was going to be Nightwing, they're just... So I don't know how far into the season he, like, you know, that's going to be, like, you know, the finale thing is him putting on the Nightwing
stuff.
I think
that's probably going to be sooner. I would say by the end of the second episode.
I mean, I'd be okay with that.
Because I think most of what they showed is probably the first episode.
Yeah.
I also can't see, like, it's clearly Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
But it's not. That's not Dick Grayson. That's more Jason Todd or Damian Wayne. You know, as brutal as he was. So, I don't know. I mean...
Yeah, the whole stepping on his head.
Yeah, that's not really a Dick Grayson move. That's...
more of a...
It's a dick move.
Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome. That's... Yeah, I mean... And it looks more like Tim Drake's costume.
Yeah. But well, they're not going to put him in elf boots and a...
No.
And a Speedo.
No, but you got Dick Grayson with Jason Todd and Damian Wayne's personality and Tim in Tim Drake's costume.
Yeah.
Just seems a little odd. But... and I... What, $7.99 a month or something like that?
Something like that. Like $75 for a year if you just want to pay it, you know, all at once, I think.
I got a little work to do on that. I wanted to wait till after San Diego just to try to... Hey, guys.
Finagling.
We got a nice big TV here in the store.
Come on.
I'm always looking for something to play here in the store.
Well, it's like that. You can't play that here.
That I can't, but...
I don't think you're going to...
No, but they're also going to have the Batman animated. They're going to have the Wonder Woman 77.
Yeah.
There's certainly going to be stuff on there. How about, you know...
I don't know if I play the Wonder Woman 77 in here either. Some of these guys.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, I'm looking for content. You have content. It certainly, you know, might actually help.
Yeah.
You know, so... Oh, what's this on? Oh, it's on da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. So I gotta work that a little. I don't think they're super fond of us right now after this whole Batman thing, but...
Aww.
Use your power as a board member.
Well, it's not so much that, yeah. I just have to...
You have co-op funds, right?
What?
You have co-op funds.
I do.
Well, take $75 in co-op funds and give it right back to them.
Yeah, or can we use our co-op fund? Yeah, that'd be funny. It doesn't cost you a penny to give me a code, you know?
Right.
So...
Only other things I had as far as television, Star Wars, Clone Wars is coming back for a seventh season because they need programming for the Disney streaming service.
They won't after Friday.
What's Friday?
Friday, Disney's doing their board meeting. They and Fox are both doing board meetings and it should make the sale official.
Mm. Oh, wow. Okay.
Nice.
Comcast bowed out, so.
Yeah.
And Justice Department's already given the go-ahead, so at this point, it's really just they're going to vote on it, vote yes, and move forward.
I can't believe Comcast thought that they stood a chance against Disney with this, like, in a money battle, like...
Yeah, that's true.
It is stretching Disney's finances.
Oh, yeah, probably.
But in order for Comcast to win out, their finances would have been... They would have taken on a much heavier debt load. We'll see. I mean, it can mean a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Because I could foresee Disney breaking up and selling off some of that IP. I mean,
because really, if they would have let them, they probably just would have bought the X-Men stuff. Like, that's the what I think they... Well, and probably something like that old Star Wars, but...
Avatar, because they have the Pandora land at Animal Kingdom. But, like, I can't imagine them... playing Alien or Alien versus Predator on any of their media.
Yeah.
I mean, when I think of Disney, I don't think of that. Awesome movie, but I don't think of that. That's one of the rumors that Disney's going to recoup some of that cash by turning around and selling off some of that IP they don't want. But the other part is there's a CEO of Universal and Bob Iger, who's the CEO of Disney, hate each other. So that was part of what was going on, too. It was a power play between the two of them.
Hmm. Didn't know that.
That's all I had for San Diego.
There was one more big one, or at least it was big to me. I thought it was interesting.
Bye, Tim.
Gail Simone is going to be taking over the Catalyst Prime universe over at Lion Forge. I thought that was really neat. They're really stepping up.
That's a big gap.
I met with them as part of the board. They took us out to dinner out in Portland, and they're really trying to do stuff. So that is a big get for them. So that was interesting.
Yeah, I saw her on Twitter. She was very excited about that.
Yeah, so that's neat.
great.
I don't know what she's going to do. The books haven't done great. I mean, I order a couple of each, but we'll see where that goes.
I'm sure a name like her
will Right, we'll bring some attention to it, yeah.
Bring some attention to it, yeah. Great.
That all you got, Dave?
That's it.
Okay, we did have Bones. Some questions.
Wow. One of them isn't Josh, is it?
No.
Okay.
Zach from Texas is asking about our thoughts on Dan DiDio's comments on marriage and storytelling. Basically, saying that, you know, the reason Batman and Catwoman didn't get married is that's kind of the last Batman story, is him getting married and settling down. And they have a lot of great stories to continue. So I still think
totally
it can be.
Disagree with that.
I do, in the sense that I think the Superman stuff has been great. With Lois and John, so.
I think the other thing is, quite specifically, Batman and Catwoman were getting married. Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne were not getting married. So, I mean, that in and of itself has a lot of story possibilities.
And it's not like they have to stay married forever.
No. No, I figured this Heroes in Crisis would have undid whatever it was anyway.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we talked, I think, last week about she was infected with Joker toxin in the issue beforehand. So, I mean, there was lots of things you could have done with it. But I disagree. That's the last Batman story. Actually, last Batman story was already written by Paul Dini, and it was... with the Scarecrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the last Batman story.
Okay. Wrong button. Nick asks, if Snyder and Capullo ever came back to Marvel, what character series would you want to see them take over?
Moon Knight.
That would be cool.
Okay. little easy. Yeah,
I don't know. Softball.
I think I saw somebody ask him that before, like on Twitter one time, that he was just taking questions, and he said he always wanted to do a Ghost Rider story, and having Capullo's art on that, I think that would look pretty cool. Awesome.
So have them come over and take over.
Yes.
What's Donnie pitch? Hey, come on. Although I'm sure they both have exclusives.
Oh yeah.
Take a Daredevil series for sure from them.
Well, has he ever wrote anything for Marvel?
The only thing he ever did, he did that Iron Man noir.
Oh, did he?
Yep, that was Snyder.
I read that. I did not know that.
Huh. But that was like one of the very, very first things he ever did.
Capullo was there doing some of the early X-Force days and stuff like that.
Okay, Brandon says, I'm planning to read Extermination, but haven't been reading any of the X books. Anyone on the cast read X-Men? Anything I need to know? No, I haven't been reading X-Men.
X-Men.
I read a little
bit
of X-Men Red, but yeah, I can't. I keep wanting to get in, and like I tried Gold and Blue when they started, and they just didn't grab me.
Yeah, I read a little bit of X-Men Red.
Yeah,
also,
I read a couple of those until the annual, which just...
Jean Grey's back for whatever,
yeah.
For whatever that's worth.
Yeah, so that's why it's red.
She's been back.
Like, they announced the Uncanny. I hope that if they do an Uncanny, just make it the best X-Men book, because right now it's just kind of all over the place with their books.
See, I read both Gold and Blue.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so you're the person this is targeted to.
I would probably... If you needed to read anything, it'd probably be, like, just these last story arcs beforehand. Because Blue, you know, is the Time Kid, so, you know, the young X-Men. And I think this is what this series is going to wrap up their story, I think. Like, I don't know if that... Hopefully they go back to the past or whatever.
But they're not really from the past.
They are from the past.
But they're not from the past.
A different past.
No, just because I've read almost just about everything with these guys in it. What happened was that time they went back in time and they saw the young X-Men there, so they didn't know what was going on. There was the evil X-Men from the future, from the Battle of the Atoms, in disguise, trying
to take, just sent the series that got me to stop reading the X-Men.
Yeah. So, like, there's a whole bunch of weirdness going on there.
Well, no, because when the one Scott got hurt, current Scott started to go all Back to the Future disappearing act.
Yeah.
And then I thought they did away with that. Like, oh, no, well, no, they're not really from here.
They did away with it, retconned it, and I don't... Yeah, yeah.
They haven't even been around for 5 years. How could you have retconned it twice? Jesus, Marvel, come on, man. We need Keyshawn Johnson now. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's been very confusing. I mean, I've kind of enjoyed both of the... of gold and blue just in there. You know, the gold's kind of been, like, what... the uncanny X-Men. Like, that's kind of been the uncanny X-Men book with the more traditional team. And gold with the kids, with the teaming up with Magneto and stuff. So, but I'm looking forward to, like, the... because they're both ending in, like, 3 issues. And then this series... and then Uncanny's coming out. So I don't know if they're just doing plain just secondary X-Men book. Because, you know, they have to have more than one X-Men book.
But that's okay. There's enough characters
there. You could spin the X-Men off into, like, their own universe. And probably would have enough characters.
Yeah, Fox tried it. It didn't work real well.
That's what Adam always said. That they should be in a separate universe from the Marvel... 616.
It got very
Doctor Who-y there.
Doctor Who-y?
Yeah.
That's a bunch of Who-y there.
Yeah.
That's his least successful brother.
Is Professor X back?
He came back in the first of that Astonishing X-Men, but he's in Phantom X's body.
So then the answer is no.
Professor X is in Phantom X's body.
Yeah.
That's a really odd combination anyway.
Yeah, that was that whole Charles Soule storyline in that run of Astonishing that just ended.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll probably bring him back for Uncanny. Put him back in a wheelchair. Or I guess Phantom X could probably just upload him to Ava.
Yeah. Well, he's been walking around in his body, so I don't... And then he may the other X-Men that he was working with forget, so I don't think anybody really knows that he's back.
Okay. All right.
That's it for questions. Who read... Sorry, I'm having to respond to a text. Sorry.
No, sorry.
Dave!
Me. The cat.
Since you're a bundle of energy.
Besides, you always read things different than the rest.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll start with...
in the paper, what's first?
Archie meets Batman.
You bought that? You read that? 66. I'm shocked. That is so out of your wheelhouse, Dave.
An event years in the making.
A lot of years in the making.
Because they've never met before in a book.
True.
In a book? I don't remember meeting on TV or the movies
or
either.
TV, yeah, exactly. But as we find out in the book, who would have known Gotham City is in close proximity to Riverdale?
That's, like, the weirdest, like, divide of, like...
It's on the other side of Slaughter Swamp.
Yeah.
Because it starts with Poison Ivy attacking the World's Fair.
And we already know she lives close to Riverdale, because her and
Harley...
Yeah,
that's true. They don't... she's on a... She attacks the World's Fair on a giant winged snapdragon... but she's being used by a bookworm for a distraction.
That's right, this is Batman and of 66. Course,
and of course she's defeated by Batman and Robin, and Batgirl shows up. And then the rest of the villains, Joker, Penguin, Riddler, Catwoman, they decide to stop wasting their time on Gotham City and to concentrate on Riverdale.
As one does.
As one does. So, but they hire another villain named Siren, who can affect men's minds.
Oh.
So she goes over there and she starts affecting the minds of Hiram Lodge and Chief Keller. And at the end, Dylan Doily. So Veronica, she's all wondering, you know, what's going on, all the with her daddy being acting so weird. So she goes to Dilton for help, and Dilton calls up the Batcave.
Because of course he does.
Because of course he does, and he's the only one to. And Batman answers, and he tells him, you know, he's the only one to ever be able to call the Batcave besides Commissioner Gordon and the President of the United States.
Yeah, you would think that's a secure line, but apparently not.
Yeah, well, Dilton's pretty smart, so good for him. But it was a lot of fun. Dan Parent does the art. He's the Archie artist, so he does a good job. Pardon me, he does a good job drawing the Batman and the heroes and the villains and that.
Is it more of the Archie House style?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's that. Yeah. It's,
like, I know it's Batman 66.
Yeah.
It's not the normal DC, but
yeah, it's more the Archie House style, I would say. Yeah, but he does a good job drawing the craziness and the creatures and stuff. Next, Weatherman number 2.
I read that.
Did you read that, Colin?
That. Oh no. Yeah. No, I was thinking Farmhand.
Yeah, this is Weather.
Yeah, Weather. No, no, I did read this, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, just got more into what he did and everything and why they were after him and things like that. Basically, people on Earth have moved to Mars because there was a climactic event.
Yeah, it's 2770.
Yep, and it turns out that this guy did it and then had his mind wiped.
Yeah.
And he has no knowledge of it whatsoever.
He doesn't remember anything before the Earth was destroyed.
Right, but they're coming after him because he's the one that did cause the Earth to be destroyed. But he has no knowledge of it or anything.
There's no knowledge. They say there's a lot of exposition where there was a guy named Ian Black, who's this American Special Forces operative or something, and he was part of the Sword of God group or something who destroyed the Earth, and he had his memories replaced, so now he is Nathan
Mm-hmm.
Bright, the weatherman. So,
is there somebody named Quaid?
No.
Damn it.
No.
Start the reactor.
But it's weird, but it was good. Ice Cream Man.
Okay.
Number 5. This is back after a couple months break. This was really weird. This was really dark. Usually in these issues, the Ice Cream Man meets somebody and something crazy happens, but this issue kind of skips over all that, and it ends. You see the end result. This issue is called Ballad of a Falling Man, and it's about a guy who's falling from a Ice Cream Man forces him to fall from a 100-story building. And he's having an inner monologue the whole time, falling down. And the Ice Cream Man has turned himself into a buzzard, and he's eating, like, the people's brains inside the boardroom, inside this building.
Okay.
So, it's really weird. And then at the end of the previous issue, this cowboy showed up, and he told the Ice Cream Man, you know, stop. Don't get away. Get out of this small town he's been in. So he's in the city now, which is 30 miles outside the town he was in. And you're starting to get more of an idea of the story, because it seems to be this cowboy versus the Ice Cream Man in a switch because of good and evil, with the good guy, the cowboy dressed in black, and the Ice Cream Man dressed in white. So it's good. It's really interesting. Skyward,
number four. I've been enjoying this series where Earth's gravity has been turned off. And in this issue, Willa, the main character, she goes back to her father to try to, because she was talking to her father's scientist friend, and they were working on. They knew that this was coming. The gravity was going to be turned off, but now he's made so much money off of it, he doesn't want to help turn it back on. So now he's after her father, and so she goes back to her father's apartment, and her father admits that he's never left the apartment because he's a coward, and he tells a story about how on the day everything happened, his wife floated away, and he tended to his daughter Willa, even though she was safe in her in her crib in her room, and he was just a coward. He's ashamed of himself. So Willa, they have to go on this journey to try to solve this. So she hits him from behind with a bat or something and knocks him out, then takes him away in a duffel bag to finally get him outside.
I guess it'd be one thing without having gravity. It's easier to move an unconscious body, you know.
There's no
talented.
No weight to it. Yeah, I know. Well, the series does such a good job of like conveying this weightlessness of everything, even when they're in rooms and in hallways and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. And there's a rainstorm at the end that shows you like what they think a rainstorm would be like
without
gravity. And it's just like one giant droplet of water, you know, like miles.
Yeah, but it's so much.
I know. That's what it doesn't. I don't know. I don't know the science of what would.
You're not a scientist, Dave?
I'm not.
Huh.
Many things, but not that.
Yeah, but if you're like a Marvel scientist, you know everything of all sciences. That always bothered me for some reason.
Because he gets caught up in this giant droplet of water, and that's where the issue ends.
That might have to be a check that one in the first trade comes out. Because it seems pretty good from...
It's really good. Lee Garbett is doing the art. It's really good. I'm really enjoying that series. And finally, the new X-Files series.
Okay, Hoot.
Hoot Goes There. This is like one of the Monster of the Week episodes.
Those are the fun ones.
This is written by Joe Lansdell. He's a horror author. And he's also written some Batman animated series episodes. He wrote the Perchance the Dream episode, if you remember that one. But Mulder and Scully, they're in Muddy River, Texas to investigate this report at this trailer park. This woman was... was grabbed by this giant owl creature and taken away. And so there's a lot of quirky stuff. The sheriff's office is in a donut shop, a dog themed donut shop. And the next door neighbor who saw this happen is named Saki, and he just wants to watch Shark Week. So it was a good start. I think it's only a 2-issue series, mm-hmm. so we'll see how it wraps up. So it feels like the X-Files to me. That's all I want out of the book. And there's some funny lines by Mulder. His sarcastic sense of humor. So
have you liked the new seasons that they've done? Like the two newer seasons?
Yeah,
that they've
done? Some episodes have been better than others, but yeah, I'm just happy to get more episodes most of the time. But there was a couple really good ones of the last run that did you see any of that, Spencer?
Yeah, I've watched the last two of the newer seasons.
There was one with like this restaurant with computer taking over. That was the best
one,
I think, if you saw that. That was really cool. Ian, that's all we got. I don't know what's to go next.
Pat.
Okay. Superman.
I read that.
So, I liked parts of it.
Okay.
I liked the Superman stuff. I did not like the Nazi Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
That really is bothering me. Because just getting him back and turning him into Space Hitler kind of bothers me. Now,
they didn't call him Space Hitler, did he?
No.
No, but he literally had a conversation with Superman that you should lead everybody. You're the strongest.
They called him Maurice. He speaks.
Hmm?
He's the pompous.
They did not call him Space Cowboy. So, I'm hoping that this is the other Martian. His brother or whatever, not the white Martian, but the evil green Martian.
Okay.
Because...
Yeah, that was a little weird when, you know, you're better than them. Why are you putting up with... That was a little...
It's very out of character
for
John, and that's why I'm hoping it's some kind of swerve like that. I actually think that would be okay. And then in the end, to find out that Earth is somehow in the Phantom Zone made no sense. It was interesting enough. I'll read the next one, but if you turn Martian Manhunter evil, I'm not gonna like that. It bothered me.
Especially with him being like a lead in the Justice League book now, like you have two completely like. Pull things going on there.
Well, if you're just getting him back, it's one of those deals.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, don't do that. You know, or if you're going to do it, have it make sense. Like, it's not really him. I mean, the nice thing about the Martians is they can shapeshift.
Yeah.
So it could not be John, and that would still be okay, but... Because he's a Martian, he'd still have John's power set.
Yeah.
You know, and that could be a thing where they go off to find the real Martian Manhunter at some point. I'd be okay with that. Like I said, it held my interest enough. I want to read where this goes. But that part left a really bad taste. Batman.
Yep.
Batman and Jury Duty.
I really liked that issue. Just some of the little moments, like as soon as Dick dresses Batman and showed up to Jim was like, "You're the other guy."
Yeah.
Like we just knew.
I like that little callback too, just of like before like New 52 logo, like that's still kind of in continuity or whatever.
Yeah. And the other little moment like that I liked was he was getting ready to fight Killer Croc, and he calls him on the phone. He's like, "Hey, it's Dick. Just checking to see how you're doing."
Yeah.
It's like, things are okay here. That little things like that I found amusing. But I really liked the story itself, where he's on jury duty. Mr. Freeze is on trial, and in effect, Batman beat the confession out of him. And Freeze knew if he didn't admit to killing those women that he was going to be killed. It's definitely showing a more brutal side, which I have to presume is a side effect of Catwoman leaving him at the altar. That was... pretty good.
Well, what's that older movie? Yeah, like 12 Angry Men. 12
Angry Men, yes. Yeah, and it definitely had the 12 Angry Men ending, you know. Alright, I think we wrap this up quick. Anybody think he's not guilty? One hand. Yeah.
And like, it's one of those things, as you person in the end, you're like, I kind of see where this is going.
Yes.
But it still wasn't an enjoyable. Like, it sometimes when, like, this is worse when you see where it's ending and it's bad, But you could tell where it was kind of going when it was still happy with it.
Yeah, although I gotta wonder, if I'm a defense attorney, I'm getting him thrown off the jury anyway. I mean, that's just gonna make it a bigger circus. Or actually,
yeah.
If I was a prosecutor, I would get him off the jury. Because for a defense attorney, if something goes goofy, you have grounds for an appeal. But, yeah, you know, you're not gonna see Kanye on the jury for some murder trial.
I mean, that's what you could just, you know, Bruce Wayne just use his power and influence to...
Well, that's the other piece of it, is, you know... maybe he bought his way, you know, maybe he bought Victor Freeze off. You never know.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed that. And the last one I read was Ninjak.
I traded.
Dave?
No, I haven't been reading that.
Okay. This wrapped up that arc. So, if you remember back in Wrath of the Eternal Warrior, the guy that was studying Galad to find out how
he
was
jumping bodies, died.
Well, he eventually takes over Galad's body in this. So... that's what the next arc is going to be, is they're searching for Galad. The team is very pissed off at Ninjak because he's not really sharing a lot of information, not sharing the plan with the team.
Did he ever do that, though? I mean, they should know by now.
No, I mean, he's MI6. He's a spy. He's not going to be really good at giving information. But it was a pretty good issue.
So I liked that first trade. I liked it a lot. So.
I thought that the first half of this arc was slow. I really liked the first arc, where it went into his history.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going to go back to doing some of that, I guess, in the next arc is going to be talking about Ninja Age.
Cool.
So, you know, maybe that'll be what they do, is arc in the past, you know, arc referencing the past and arc in the current and arc in the past, that, you know, that'd be okay. So, Spencer, what'd you read?
Justice League.
I read that.
We get it pretty much focuses on well, I guess the front half kind of focuses on Grodd and how he, whenever he was like a young ape, and his parents always picking on him and stuff, and he's able to control this, the Steel Force, because he went back and grabbed the old, Flash villain, the Tortoise.
Mm-hmm. Turtle.
Turtle. And grabbed him as an infant, and is like, you see Grodd walking around with this infant strapped to his chest and a baby on his...
Like Zach Galifianakis?
Yeah, pretty much.
Not the table.
Just not as hairy, you know? And,
who was less hairy?
Grodd.
Yeah.
That's something like between Grodd and Galifianakis. I don't know which way you go.
We get some more of Green Lantern and Cyborg fighting Sinestro. I can't remember. Did he end up taking over John's? He broke his ring or something, I think. Yeah, I can't remember. But it was a pretty decent issue. Still just kind of, you know, both, Joker attacks Hawk Woman inside this mini miniature boat that's inside. Hawk Woman's inside of Martian Manhunter, right? I think. And
okay.
Batman's inside of Superman, I think.
I don't remember who was in which, yeah.
But
it bothers me to use a Joker as part of a Legion of Doom.
He's too much of a wild card, not
a
team
exactly.
player.
Yeah, he would be the last one. And, you know, Lex Luthor is not stupid, so why would you recruit him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you just need a Batman villain, go with the Riddler. Joker, you can't trust what he's
doing. Old school cartoony style against Scarecrow.
Yeah. Toy man.
But I've been liking the series so far. Good steady Justice League book. Nice to have a good Justice League title there to read every other week.
Solomon Grundy, you want pants too?
And then The Magic Order.
I read that. That was really good.
And good issue. It was weird though to find, because you get a lot of information on the daughter. Mm-hmm. In this issue.
That was a weird beginning.
Whenever
that was crazy.
She transports herself into the doctor's womb whenever they're trying to, like, abort her. Like, that's...
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I know, exactly.
Okay.
And then, they get called, because, some magical instrument got stolen from, like, their safe house or whatever that was. Mm-hmm. It's kind of...
The camera that can capture the soul, and it got that one guy.
And the guy got in it, and it kind of looks like the comic book guy from The Simpsons, like, you know, just heavier set, flip-flop sandals, just... Mm. And then it ends with... another one of the big magicians being murdered in a very kind of cool way. I thought that was interesting.
Drown in a cab,
that was interesting.
But then the next issue is got your favorite cover on it.
Yeah.
Is that going to be the main cover?
That's
still
the main cover. They did add a C cover, but I still ordered that cover, you know, a bunch of it, so. Dave's going to be upset, but he'll get this cover C. So.
Whatever you think's best.
That's it.
Okay, well, I only had a couple more. Euthanauts, this is a new one from the Black Crown line. This is, I believe, Teeny Howard over at IDW. It was funny. I recommended it to somebody, and they're like, what's it about? And I'm like, I really can't say, and not trying to be vague or mean or anything. It's very hard to explain, but it's about this girl who's kind of obsessed with death. But then as the story's progressing, you don't know if she's dead or alive. She follows this woman who's clearly, like, end-stage cancer, who's out, like, you know, having a birthday with her friends, you know, might be the last one. And kind of follows her into a bathroom, and she's kind of talking to her about it, you know, what's it like, and all this stuff. She turns her back, and then this lady just grabs, I forget what it was, a bottle or something, and just creams her in the head. And so you don't know if she's dead or not. And Euthanauts actually isn't her, this main character. It's these people working, like, in the morgue and stuff, but it's about people, like, investigating death and stuff like that. But it was fascinating. It was really good. But trying to explain it simply, no, there's really no way. But it was very, really neat, cool book where you didn't really know where you stood. You didn't know what was going on. Clan Killers. This is like ancient Ireland. And the king, a god kind of whispered in his ear that he should, you know, he could be king if he killed all the other clans. And so he did that. And his daughter is kind of rebellious, and she's really mad that this female god had told him to do this, and it, you know, ruined their lives. It, you know, dad is kind of now obsessed with things, and so she runs off with this friend of hers, and they go searching for this god. And she meets, like, an under god or somebody who, you know, knows this god, and says, well, if you want to be able to talk to her, you need to kill all the other clan. You know, you need to take out the clans, including your father. And she's like, okay. So, it was interesting. Very.
This is number one?
Yeah, this was a number one. Yeah, it was interesting. And then the last one I read was Tony Stark Iron Man 2, which was good. Tony has come back from the dead and kind of rebuilt his body, and he did the same thing for Rhodey because he felt guilt over that. And Rhodey's kind of still suffering PTSD. Like, Tony, you know, recruited him and got him in the War Machine armor to deal with something, and he couldn't take it. He started getting attacked, and he was flashing back to being killed by Thanos. And he really couldn't do it, but he ended up getting in this big armored carrier type thing this person had made using stolen Stark technology that they went to kind of claim. I think it was called the Manticore. And it ends with Iron Man saying, you know, you're fine, you check out just fine, but I screwed up when I remade me and something is wrong. But there's a little subplot where Bethany Cabe, who's his head of security, has actually been compromised and is actually, like, they're having stuff stolen and she's actually the one doing the stealing, even though she doesn't know she's doing it. They're kind of controlling her. But there's also this really neat thing with Jocasta and stuff about, like, artificial intelligence rights and things. And, like, she wouldn't let Tony just put some AI into one of the suits of armor because then it's captured and it can't get out and it's not fair to the AI and stuff. So it's kind of interesting where she's also trying to become, like, a person and, you know, interact with the people, and that's not going well. And it turns out she's married to Machine Man, who's very against all that, and she thinks she should be the machine. So there's a lot going on here. I'll give Slott credit. There's a lot in this book. A lot is going
on. I'm interested to see his take on Fantastic Four when it comes out.
2 weeks. So that's all I read. Sorry, the order's due this week, so that always is a little bit of a time suck. And I started reading the book club book. Yay. So speaking of book club is this Friday. We're doing Kingdom Come. I picked that one because I wanted to read it again. So, and I am enjoying reading it again. So it was that was a success on my part. I think that's about all we have going on through the end of the month. It's still Captain America month, so double points on all Captain America trades. But yeah, no more events. We had the big grand reopening last week. And what's up?
Oh. No. Velcro on the...
Adam did that. Yeah, so it wouldn't fall off.
What wouldn't fall off?
The power strip wouldn't fall off the window ledge. Because the Alexa is up. Oops, sorry, Alexa.
Don't say her name.
I know. Did she say whatever?
No, she said, I don't know that one.
Okay. So that's all I think that's going on here at the store.
Are you guys doing a midnight release for Fantastic
Four? I am not. I'm not, only because I think if you do them too quick, one a month, I think they lose their specialness. One a quarter or one every 4 months, like we seem to be doing about with DC. I think that's better, and they'll be more better attended.
The last one was a double one anyway.
It was. But yeah, just for the Fantastic Four, I don't see that. I think more people were out for Batman than Captain America number one.
Probably.
So I'm not doing it for that. So I apologize. Ah, scratchy. Thanks.
Man.
But hit it, Pat.
So what's coming next week?
Next
now?
Week. wow, scratchy throat. Sorry. We have the adventure.
Throat?
No, all of a sudden when it's time for me to talk, I'm getting scratchy. Adventures of the Super Sons, number one. This is a 12-part mini written by Peter Tomasi.
Okay.
That was another thing. He's officially taking over Detective with Doug Mankey. I'm thrilled, because that's the same team that was on Green Lantern Corps for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, very happy about that.
We know how you feel about Mankey art.
I love Doug Mankey. But who's my favorite character that Doug Mankey draws?
Frankenstein.
That's correct. I don't think he'll be in Detective. Well, he might.
I mean,
he could. But
it's a darker book. I could see that.
Yeah. So we have Adventures of Super Sons, Batman 52, continuing the jury trial, Captain America number 2. We have Cosmic Ghost Rider number 2, DC Nation number 3. This is just kind of the part of the previews. This is their little newsletter one. Dollman Kills the Full Moon Universe.
That's like Evil Bong and Ginger Dead Man and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Dave didn't even know that existed.
No. Poor Dave. He's innocent. Be nice.
You gotta watch stupid movies on cable at like 2 a.m. to know what that stuff is.
Hunt for Wolverine, Weapon Lost, number 4. We have Immortal Hulk, number 4, which has just been doing gangbusters. I can't believe the numbers Hulk is doing. Infinity Wars, number 1. Dun, 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 after the big shocking events in Infinity Wars Prime that was out today.
That won't last.
Justice League, number 5. Leviathan, number 1. This is from, this is Nick Patara. Just a big, crazy monster book. I forget who's writing it. I just know he's doing the art. He's worried about getting sued by Jeff Darrow. He's doing that real detailed art for a big monster book from Image. Mr. Miracle, number 10. Very much looking forward to this. Previews is next week. Project Superpowers, number 1, with a lot of covers. Quantum Age from the World of Black Hammer, number 2. We have Seeds, number 1. This is from, this is a burger book. From, I believe it's Ann Nesenti is doing this one. 7 to Eternity is back. It seems like that's been gone for a while, but that's back next week with number 10. And then we have Walking Dead. So it's a solid week of books. All sorts of goodies coming out. Shoot.
Do you have any idea what that Seeds book is about?
I don't remember. No, I read it, but yeah, I don't remember at all.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, sorry.
No, I don't. I mean, because I knew 2 months ago I could have given you a hint. One other thing I wanted to say was that previews orders are due on Thursday. So if there's anything today, if you're listening to this. So if there's anything you want, please let me know. Put it through the app. I will check that before I finalize. But please do it early, because if you do it too late, I'm not going to check, you know, because I do sleep.
It's a crutch.
And I think that's about it.
Batman doesn't sleep.
So this is another quick one. What are we at here? Oh, we hit an hour. Last one was only like 45 minutes. That's all we got. So, Spencer.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.